No, I'm not for sale.
Welcome back to the Stampede Blue Colts Cast, ladies and gentlemen. I'm your host, Matt Dainley. Thank you guys for joining me here on Monday, and the Colts have finally notched themselves into the win column. They did it against the Cleveland Browns, and they come away with the victory 31-28 in week three. And the Colts are now 1-2, and we kind of just have, you know, this weird feeling in our stomach. You know, the Colts look so good. They're up 28-7 with just a couple minutes left to go in the second quarter, dominating the game, truly dominating the game. And then the Colts give up a touchdown at the end of the first half, kind of just really kind of putting that sour taste in your mouth. Go into prevent defense, allow them to score in the last, I think, 30 seconds of the game. And now it's 28-14 going into halftime. I mean, the Colts are getting the ball in the second half, right? But how much more confident would you have been in this Colts team if you say that they're going into the half at 28-7 versus 28-14? I mean, look, couple three and outs and a couple scores, this stupid thing is tied, right? Let's start at the beginning because I'm already starting to get wound up. It doesn't take long when you watch a Chuck Pagano coach team, you know, kind of just whiz away a lead, you know, a significant lead in the second half and late in the first half. So let's kind of start at the beginning here, and we'll kind of go through a little bit at a time, just kind of talk about some of my notes and what I saw. And, you know, I don't want to recap the game necessarily front to back, but I want to talk about some of the things that we saw in the first half. Mingo was getting, you know, some pressure on Kaiser. I think there was one time he got a really nice hit on him on third down. The Colts didn't really do a ton as far as on the ground. There was a couple of nice runs. Gore had some 6-7 yard runs, had like a 13 or 14 yard run. Might even have had a 20-yard run, but a lot of that was negated like throughout the game. You know, short runs, 0 yards, loss of yardage. I mean, just simple things like that. And he didn't get a whole lot, and he averaged just over 2 yards, I think, a carry for the game, if I'm not mistaken. But, you know, there was a couple penalties on the Colts' first drive. That wasn't so nice. You know, we weren't always looking for – I mean, we're just not looking for penalties. We want this game to be cleaned up, right? We're in week three. There's no excuse for a false start or just any of that stuff. It's just really getting old right now to see some of the petty things. You know, a few penalties a game, those are naturally going to happen. But on your first possession, I mean – you're forcing a punt against, you know, a pretty bad Browns team wasn't so encouraging. But, you know, the Colts go in and they get, you know, a couple – it was weird, too, because this game showed a lot. I think there was like 4 pass interference penalties on the Browns when they were on offense. It was kind of strange. I don't know what they were really trying to do in their game plan, but whatever it was, they didn't get through to a couple guys, Higgins and DeValve, that you just can't either push off, you can't block before the ball's released, you know, and stuff like that, or while the ball's in the air, I guess I should have said, but it is what it is. There was the play in the Colts' second drive where Brissett was sacked. He didn't let go of the ball. He had 8 guys coming at him, and there was 3 receivers, including Doyle, on the play. That means they were all man up. Now, we couldn't see the coach's tape, so it's hard for me to see if any of them actually came free. But with 3-on-3, Gore picked up one of the blitzers. What was it? Brissett, I think, held onto the ball right at 3 seconds and got sacked as a result. Either one of those receivers has to get open on something like that, or Brissett's got to let go of the ball. It's just something, and he did it last week, too, a few times. He held onto the ball a little bit too long. He was indecisive in a few different plays. Some stuff was coming open, and he wasn't seeing it, or he just wasn't making the reaction to it, and he you know, ended up getting sacked a few times as a result. Aiken had a catch really early in the I think it was late in the first quarter, maybe early second quarter, where he ended up going out because of concussion. He was headed into the ground, was hit helmet to helmet, and you could tell that it almost knocked him out, if it didn't knock him out, as he was going to the ground. And it was kind of not scary, but you knew that it was going to end up costing the Colts, you know, one of their better receivers. Quan Bray had to come in and actually filled in pretty nicely, caught a really nice ball across the middle late in the second half and got lit up for it, but hung onto the ball. It was a really nice play. We saw again you know, some iffy coverage stuff from Bostic. I mean, a lot of this stuff is just getting old over and over again. You know, and a guy, I kind of was a little upset about it because one of the guys that I've been talking up as far as Jeremiah George really had a very quiet game. And he didn't do very good in coverage either. I mean, he let a couple balls get out pretty quick, you know, and wasn't in any kind of a position to make a tackle or make a play on the ball or anything like that. But overall, when you look at the defensive side of it, Bostic ended up having 8 solo tackles, a tackle for loss, and defended a pass. That's a good stat line, but you can still see it on tape that this guy should have been in position for a lot more. Not to mention he's inside linebacker. Those guys should typically have at least 10 tackles a game, even if they're decent. I mean, I'm not trying to take away from, you know, a nice stat line, but that's just the reality of it all. If you're an inside linebacker or if you're an outside linebacker, you should have a good handful of tackles, or you're just not going to be in the league because that's specifically what you're in the game for. Morrison had 4 solo tackles, 7 total. John Simon, man, came back to play again. Another sack and a couple tackles for loss. Hit the quarterback 4 times himself. I mean, that is almost half of what the Colts did altogether in the game. That dude is continuing to prove that he was a star pickup this offseason. With all the, you know, the Texans fans were always downplaying it. Like, oh, he's pretty good. He's okay. He's a role guy, you know. I didn't see him as a role guy looking at him, hoping that the Colts were going to pick him up. And many of you guys who have listened to, as I've crossed over into the Colts cast, remember me talking about John Simon before the Colts ever signed him. He was one of those guys that I was really hopeful for because the guy is just an absolute grunt, will go through anybody and will do anything to get a play on the ball. He's been a fantastic pickup. Could not be more excited. Pierre Desir had a pretty decent game. All in all, filled in nicely. Let's put it this way. He filled in better than TJ Green would have, but he got beat a couple times deep. And it was, you know, granted, I think it was Kenny Britt both times. And only one of them was a completion, but he still was getting beat deep. I expect him to get better as he gets more used to the Colts scheme and the way that things are going. But he was a little bit late in his reaction, all in all. But he had a nice, he was around the ball quite a bit. Several tackles, had only one solo, but he had five assists, did defend the ball. Hairston had another good game, really always around the ball and doing a good job of limiting opposing teams' slot receivers very well. I'm really excited about his future. Malik Hooker had a decent game, couple tackles, had a really a late call there in the end of the game for, what was it, a personal foul on a low hit. And, you know, we can say what we want about it because I actually myself thought that it was kind of a cheap call. However, you have to understand, and like I even had to do, is that his, you know, that is just simply a rule. If you're not pushed into a quarterback low, that's a personal foul. You can't go like basically from thighs down at a quarterback when you've not been pushed into that area. He's got to hit that strike zone kind of between, you know, the shoulders and the waist, basically, especially when you're coming in unimpeded and there's really nothing, you know, holding you back from hitting a guy. But all in all, he had a pretty good game. Had an interception late, was in junk time, but it still counts, you know. So the one guy, you know, and the receivers, let's talk about the receivers, because the receivers had a really, really impressive game. I mean, Hilton, Moncrief, Bray, Aiken even, he only had one target and one catch, but those guys really stepped up. I mean, Hilton caught 7 of his 9 targets, Moncrief 2 of 3, Bray caught 1 of 1, and so did Aiken. And you had, I mean, Hilton broke out, that's for sure. You know, he was finally getting some freedom and was able to get some space and did a lot with that space. He'd end up getting a touchdown on those 7 catches, had 153 yards, and that big, long 60-yard touchdown. That was nice. I mean, the run after the catch was really nice. And it was nice to see, you know, Quan Bray kind of completely took one of the Browns defenders out of bounds. And I thought that was awesome because that really set up the ability for T.Y. to cut back in and get upfield. So he did good. All those guys did good. When you look at that and then you see that Jack Doyle, Mr. Reliable, was only caught 2 of his 5. And, you know, that fumble, I think he had a drop in there as well. And, you know, it was just really uninspiring from him. But look, that's Doyle's only blemish, as far as I can remember, in his career with the Colts. That dude, I love him. It'd be like John Simon having a bad day for me. I mean, and probably even less of it, because Doyle consistently comes to play. He blocks hard. He's not the best blocker, you want to call him, but the dude blocks hard, never is lost for effort, and always goes after everything. And dude catches everything. An 80% catch rate throughout his career. I'm not going to bitch about one bad game. You know, it was just one of those things. Even the ball that on Brissett getting hit, the ball goes up in the air. Doyle wasn't even the target, but it comes down. In fact, I think Brissett was trying to throw the ball away, but he had gotten hit in the arm so that it ended up coming down towards Doyle. Doyle went up to catch it and still couldn't catch a duck like that. It was just one of those days for the guy. I felt bad for him. You hate it because Doyle is such a reliable guy within this Colts offense. You just hope that he can shrug it off and be like, you know, screw that, because that's not going to happen again. And I don't think that it will. Like I said, I'm not worried about it whatsoever, because that's just not the guy that Doyle is. Doyle just doesn't make those mistakes. He always catches the ball. He's always getting upfield, and he always makes really good blocks after other guys catch the ball. So it was just one of those games that you just notice and you're like, man, that sucks, you know. If we could have had Doyle on point two, that would have just been that much better. The whole receiving core would have been fantastic for Brissett. But the rest of the guys really stepped up. I mean, they were at like a 40% catch rate or something like that throughout the first 2 weeks, and they came back and caught almost everything. So that was nice for the receivers to get their game, you know, back in the fold and get their heads out of their butts, because we really needed them. I mean, Brissett really needed them. This offense really needed them quite a bit. Overall, throughout the game, the Colts were 8 of 17 on third down, and the Browns were 5 of 13. I mean, the Colts were just under 50%, and like the Browns were, I mean, look, 5 of 13, that's like 25 or 35% or something like that. I mean, it was not good, and the Colts defense came in and showed up for the most part. The whole first half, it really was one of those situations where the Colts were just dominating everything. Brissett ran for a couple touchdowns. He ended up throwing that one to T.Y. I mean, the Colts, got in a situation early in the game after they were up 7-0. Duke Johnson got that ball, and Jabal Sheard turned him inside, set the edge really good. You know, I've kind of hacked on Sheard a little bit throughout the season, but Sheard really did his job. Set the edge. Duke Johnson could not get around him, turned it back up inside, which is exactly what setting the edge is supposed to do. And then Bostic goes just flying by him, and he's the last guy standing between Duke Johnson and the touchdown. I mean, Bostic's like very non-fundamental. It just is unbelievable that he could fly right by Duke Johnson, and I don't even know if he touched him, but it just wasn't good. Anyways, Brissett runs for his second touchdown, kind of cool little spin move. You know, it was cool to see him actually feel like he had some awareness to him while he was running. And then the big touchdown to T.Y. Gore got a touchdown from 5 yards out. We got to see Costanzo, how good he is in the running game. Doyle comes across, gets a kick out block to open that hole up, and basically Gore just follows Costanzo into the end zone for the touchdown. That does really, I mean, really an underappreciated point of Costanzo's game for sure. There was a lot of things, positive and negative, throughout the first half, but mostly positive, and the Colts really ended up, you know, kind of putting it on them. Like I said, at the end of the half, it just kind of all went downhill after that. I mean, the Browns had a really long drive. They ended up getting some penalties on the Colts in that position. Hooker hit Kaiser, like I said. They called him for roughing. And then the Colts gave up touchdown there towards the end of the game. I mean, it was all on the defense, because they went into that stupid prevent crap. They were only rushing four guys at most, sometimes three in that last drive. And that really just does nothing but offer the other team points. I mean, all you have to do in that situation is be patient. And the Browns had plenty of time for that. All they had to do was hit their guys, because there's tons of openings and tons of zones in that defense that can, you know, easy completions. I mean, Hugh Jackson is not a stupid offensive coordinator. That dude, I mean, I know he's the head coach, I'm saying, but he is the guy who is calling the plays. He has the playbook. And this dude, all he knows exactly what Chuck Pagano is going to do. Just get him underneath, find a couple zones to sit in, we'll get the ball down the field. And that's exactly what happened. Then you rely on a couple opportunities to get the ball in the end zone. Guess what? Colts up 28-14 going into the half. Just really, you know, discouraging. Like I said, Brissett was 9 of 12 for 206 yards and a touchdown in the first half. Like I said, T.Y. was 5 for 145 in the first half as well. Now, in the second half, Brissett was almost exactly the same as far as efficiency in his passing. He was 8 of 12. That's nice. I mean, everybody likes that, right? So it's not bad. 17 for 24, okay. But he had like 259 passing yards in the second half. 59 yards on 12 attempts. I mean, do the math, folks. That's less than 5 yards an attempt. I mean, that's pathetic. Think about that play calling. It's just absolute garbage. They ran the ball so many times in the second half, and almost none of it was successful. I mean, the second half is where we really kind of get to where it just kind of flipped your lid. You could see it coming. And it was like almost like they started it right before halftime. Like, you know it's coming. It's just going to happen this way. The Colts are going to screw this up. They're going to make it to where they are now, like, absolutely behind and are, you know, behind the eight ball more or less, not behind in the game, but you just knew it was coming. And, you know, it got me started. Halftime came. And I remember just thinking, this is going to be the exact same way in the second half. They're going to come out lazy. They're going to be two scores. It's going to be tied. Or they're just going to continue to run this sloppy defense that's just weak and allows them to get in a groove. And it's going to take the offense out of a groove. The defense is going to start getting tired because they're going to be on the field all damn night. Stuff like that. So, I mean, that was my thoughts going into halftime. And I just was not happy about it. Guys, we're going to have a quick break. I'll come back. We'll talk about second half and kind of our finishing thoughts after that. All right, guys, welcome back to the Colts Cast. Matt Dainley, thank you guys again, you know, for coming back. Now, we're here in the second half, and the Colts are up 28-14. Colts get the ball first. How do they start? Three and out. Go figure, right? Zero offensive yards in the first possession of the second half, the first thing. The next, you know, the Colts kind of luck out because on the Browns' first possession of the second half, they throw a pick. I mean, how lucky can you get? Now, this was thrown to Rashawn Melvin, and he kind of lucked out. It was like you're excited for the interception, but you see that Kaiser threw the ball. I mean, they were marching down the field. They were in the red zone. And then you see that the pass was like 3 yards behind the receiver, and Melvin just happened to catch it. You know, he dove for it, made a great play on the ball, but it was kind of like he was out of position, you know, and if Kaiser could have hit that receiver in stride, the dude could have possibly had a touchdown. That would have been one score out. You know, it was kind of Murphy's Law just lucked out and didn't occur because we really thought, I mean, I really thought that this was just going to be a touchdown drive. They're going to be a one score game. And now we're on the edge of our seats. And you know what? For the record, it might have actually been a better second half for the Colts had they gotten within a score right then. Because if they had, then the Colts would have had to get rid of the conservative BS playbook and could have actually gone down the field to score and try to win the game as opposed to playing to lose the game. So the Colts get the ball back. 6 plays in and out. 9 plays so far in the first half. And it is just ridiculous already, you know. The Browns did punt. The Colts fumble on their next possession. That was, you know, not a good play by Doyle. It's not something you typically see him do. He is a guy that will fight for extra yardage, but it was just, you know, the guy that he tried to go over simply had like both arms on the ball and was able to pull it out pretty quick. So, and again, Colts luck out. Another bad pass by DeShone Kizer, interception. Colts actually get some plays, some offensive plays together. They don't go very far, but they do run 10 plays and get a field goal out of it. Makes it 31-14. So you start thinking that the Colts are actually going to, you know, kind of build on this lead or whatever. There was a ensuing punt. The Colts hold to a 3-and-out on the Browns' next possession. Then the Colts have a 3-and-out. Next possession, the Browns end up going down for a touchdown. And you know, it just kind of made you feel like this was just not going to be the day. I mean, Kenny Britt ends up catching that pass from Kaiser, an 11-yard touchdown pass, and now we're, you know, within a 10-point game, and it's getting late, right? Colts go 3-and-out. That's not making you feel any better. The next possession, Browns do it again. Come down, and Colts are in this crap defense, not trying to get any pressure on the Browns quarterback, not trying to get anything else. Kaiser goes in from 1 yard out, you know, at the end, pushes it in from a yard out. So now, where are we at? Not in a good spot here. The Colts are up 3, okay? Colts have to punt it back to them. I mean, we're sitting, guys, we're punting the ball back to these guys, right? and there's 29 seconds on the clock. They're punting it to Jabril Peppers. What do you expect to happen? You expect Peppers to make a play, right? I did not even want to watch the TV, not a bit. I didn't even want to watch it. It's like, no, this is going to go back for a score. And it's a good thing that Peppers had like a brain fart, because if he didn't, he probably would have. He had a huge lane off to the left-hand side. The Colts gunners were completely out of position. You watch them come down, even if you just have it DVR'd, go back and watch that play and watch the Colts when they come down the field. You see like seven guys come down right down the middle of the field, just like they're coming down a pipeline. Nobody on the outside. Peppers knew it when he looked down the field as soon as he caught the ball that he passed up on a really, really big opportunity. And the Colts luck out on the next possession with 30 seconds to go in the game and end up getting another interception because basically, you know, Kaiser just throws the ball to the Wolves and tries to pray for something to happen. The Colts got really lucky in this. And now we're going to get into kind of the verbal parts here as opposed to looking at what happened in the game. This bull has to stop. Okay, because I can't take any more of this crap defensive call, crap offensive play calling, and it's all coming down from Pagano. This is 100% on his shoulders. The Colts should not have won this game. They were up 28-7 at halftime. The Colts scored 3 points in the last 30 minutes of the game, all because of the play calling. Now, you can say that's Chudzinski, and I'll blame it on Chudzinski. And I'll blame it on Monachino. That's just fine with me. I have no problem with that. But that is directly from the big guy. He goes in there and tells them, look, we don't want to give this one away or just whatever. And look, you get in this stinking position again. And it ain't the first time, guys. And it ain't the first offensive or defensive coordinator we've seen it happen with. This isn't every defensive coordinator's idea. This isn't their game plan. This isn't every offensive coordinator's idea or their game plan. This is coming from Chuck Pagano to go in there and try to pad your lead by just sitting back and allowing everything to happen and praying for them to make a big mistake. And they did make a big mistake. And Brown's wide receiver sucked bad. How many drops? How many penalties did they have on pass interference? How many times did the Browns give Chuck Pagano an extra chance to win this game? I mean, this continues to get ridiculous every time we talk about it. There's always some BS that we have to dig through because Pagano is scared to death to step on somebody's throat when we've got the win. If he lost this game, there had to be a conversation with him and Chris Ballard after this game. And Ballard should have fired his butt immediately, on the spot, if he lost this game. Because there's no excuse for it. No excuse for it whatsoever. Anytime you've got a lead like that, you have to be smart. You can't just run three plays and just be like, okay, we're going to run the ball three times every time, regardless of positive yardage, negative yardage, or no yardage. And we're just going to give you guys a chance to beat us because we think your offense sucks too. I mean, really? Did you guys happen to watch the Cincinnati Bengals today get beat by the Green Bay Packers? Same exact situation. Cincinnati scored 3 points in the second half, got beaten overtime. If you play even a marginal NFL team, and you do that, and you play like that, you get beat. Aaron Rodgers and those guys were down, I don't remember how much, but they came back and scored like 20 points, I think. I think they were down 14-7. Or 21-7 or something like that, very similar to what the Colts did. And they come back and they win. You know why? Because they don't play to get their butts kicked. They play to kick everybody else's butt. And that's exactly what Pagano was doing today, was playing not to get his butt kicked. And we've seen it time and time again. Throw that prevent defense out the damn window and stop it. It's embarrassing. You're making yourself look like a schmuck in front of a national audience and every Colts fan. This is getting so ridiculous. And Monachino and Chudzinski, if these guys can't get their heads out of their butts either, what good is that doing for our talent that we have in here? We've got a bunch of rookies, a bunch of free agency pickups that these guys are trying to learn how to win football. Who is teaching them how to win football right now in the Colts coaching circles? I mean, what are you teaching them? Play scared, play defense the whole time. I mean, it's like watching Mayweather play football. I mean, just play defense the whole time, you know, take some punches and try not to get knocked out. Eventually, you're going to get knocked out. You can get tired of taking punches. I mean, this Colts team right now has some talent. They showed that. I'm not trying to say that the Browns have a great defense or anything like that, but they've got some players. And the Colts went in there today and were putting them on their butts in the first half. The second half, the play calling, the game plan completely changed. There's no mistake about it. They made no adjustments. And the fact their adjustment was to play like cowards. And then the Browns made adjustments to go after them. And they still sucked. But guess, I mean, the Browns were so bad in the second half. They were terrible. And they still almost won the game. I just can't take this anymore with Pagano. He has no chance. I mean, he's had so many chances. He comes in this year playing for his job, and this is your resume to the new GM? This is how we win in Indianapolis? Get the hell out of here, man. I'm tired of this crap. And there can't be anybody in the Colts front office that thinks that it's okay. No other team that I've seen, other than the Bengals today apparently, play like that. And I'm going to tell you, if I was a Bengals fan or if I was a Bengals owner, they've had enough problems. It sounds to me like the real issue is Marvin Lewis. He's the one that can't get these guys to have a decent game plan in the second half. You don't play scared. And if I'm Chris Ballard, I'm talking to Chuck. I'm telling him, look, you do that again, I'm going to can your ass because he deserves to be canned. That's not how you play football. I can't take this crap anymore. I know you guys can't either because this is a true, I mean, this is fandom running wild here a little bit. But, I mean, how annoyed could anybody in that Colts team? I mean, Chris Ballard had a freaking dinner napkin wiping his forehead throughout that second half because it was so ugly. You know, and Pagano goes into his post-game talk with the team. You guys battled, you know, you did this, you did that. We've got to clean it up. We've got to close out games. How about your play calling being total trash? How about the guys that you instruct to play like cowards and to call the game like cowards being complete trash? That's what you do. That's your game. That's your second half game plan. You got here. Here's a page I want you to call from. Run three times, or at least run two, and do a short dump off pass. 56 yards on 12 attempts from Brissett. That's not on him. That's the game plan. That's what they put in front of him. Look, we simplified it for you already. We're going to simplify it even more. Not going downfield. No mistakes. Play like a coward. This is what we're going to do. It's not Brissett's fault. It's what the team put in front of him. It's not anybody's fault. I mean, you've got a half like that from T.Y. Hilton. You got Dante Moncrief playing really well. That's what you present this team with? You think that he has any respect, I mean, other than a person in that locker room right now? Chuck Pagano? Any of those guys? I mean, you're going to come out of that game and say, man, I respect you. It was a great, great game. Great play calling. Really? I don't think so. Those guys are embarrassed that they won like that because they were knocking the crap out of the Browns and they came up limping at the end of the game. That's garbage. He needs to go. Ballard needs to give him a stern what for as soon as that game was over. I hope that he did because that's uncalled for. That's totally crap NFL football. You don't play like that. I mean, you have teams like that in college, D1 teams, that take these other teams really lightly, like these D2 teams when they come in and they're just complete washes. You know what? They end up making a game out of it, and then sometimes they end up getting beat. Chuck Pagano's got to get his head out of his butt. He's not going to be here next year. The only question is he going to make it to the end of the season? And if he plays, if coaches like that one more time, he better not, because then the lack of respect is going to start going towards Chris Ballard. Not just from me, not just from you and the other fans, but from the team in that locker room, those players. They're not going to respect a guy that they know that Ballard has come in and said, look, we're going to do this all. We're going to do this competition. Well, what about the coaching competition between Chuck Pagano and nobody? Because right now, almost nobody is almost better than Chuck Pagano. I mean, I don't care who you have come in as your interim coach. I don't care if it's your all-line coach in Philbin. I don't care if it's Chudzinski, because it doesn't really make a difference. Unless these guys are just cowards and they want to play like that, they're going to be better than Pagano. I feel for you guys as much as I am annoyed. And like I said, I feel for that team in there because that Colts roster does not want to play like this. This is not what they come to work every day for and expect to have presented to them. I mean, and at the end of the game, you know, just some of the quotes and stuff that are coming out, like T.Y. Hilton talking about giving Superman his cape back. I mean, really? I mean, you waited to play like crap for two games and you come out against the Browns and had a good half, and now all of a sudden you think you're Superman? I mean, I'm not on the Doyle, you know, diva trip here either. I'm just saying. Simple. How about we just keep our mouth shut until we actually start looking like a football team for four full quarters? That's kind of where I'm at, you know. I'm pretty sure that you guys are too. Don't get me wrong. T.Y. Hilton has great game-breaking ability, and I love watching him play, and he's great. But right now, I want to see more Doyles on this team. Had a bad game? That's not what I mean. I'm talking about shut your mouth and play your ass off. That's what Doyle does. That's what John Simon does. That's what some of these other, that's what Jabal Sheard does. You don't hear him coming out talking about crap like that. You don't hear any of these other guys doing that. I don't hear Malik Hooker talking about, you know, give Caper, you know, blah, 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 blah. Just go out there and whoop someone's ass. Talk at the end of the season when you've done something, not when you've had good two quarters. And I hope that you guys are a little more forgiving than I am, because I'm not trying to present more negativity on a win, especially on a win. But look, you handed it to them for two quarters, and you got it handed back to you because you played like cowards. You were coached like cowards. I don't blame the team, but I do blame the coach. And the coach should blame the coach. The other coaches should blame the head coach. The players should blame the coach. The GM and the owner should blame the coach. You know why? Because he's done this his entire career with the Colts. Every year, every game, every half, every quarter, every minute of the game. Continually the same. He's consistently awful. He makes terrible in-game decisions, and he holds them to the accountability of himself. He makes them play like cowards and then tells them that they need to finish. I don't understand that. That complete to me is completely illogical. So I'm going to cut this rant short. Hopefully we'll come back tomorrow and I'll have a little breathing session tonight, maybe a little yoga tomorrow before I get on the pod, or Wednesday, I guess. And we'll get this and we'll get into a little more positive light. But the Colts do win. That's a good point. 31-28 over the Browns. We finally get our first victory of the year. That's nice. Get on a little bit of a roll, but the Colts are going to go to the Seahawks this week. And, you know, we've got a lot to talk about with that, because they had a really physical, really, you know, really nasty game with the Titans. It was kind of fun to watch. Titans did win that. So think about that. Titans aren't no pushovers either, guys. We get into this. We're going to see a lot of different things. You know, and for that matter, the Texans really gave it to, you know, gave the Patriots all they could handle. And oh yeah, the Jaguars, they rocked the Ravens 44-7. Right now, we got to win. The Colts are still the worst team in the AFC South. Think about that. By far. And it's not close. The talent's there. Coaching is not. GM needs to do something about it. And I don't know if that requires lighting a fire or, you know, giving him a bus ticket. Hopefully the latter, to be quite honest with you, because I think, like I said, anybody can coach this team better than Chuck Pagano, and I don't know that I would get any argument from anybody. So thank you guys all for listening. I'll talk to you Wednesday. Come back, tell somebody, share the show. Thank you for the iTunes reviews and ratings and all that good stuff. You guys can catch me on Twitter at @MDainley_NFL. And go to Stampede Blue and check out all of our great content there. So thank you guys, and I'll talk to you Wednesday right here on the Colts Cast.